So anyway, Susie says that she does this every night before she goes to bed. And I'm telling you, you can't improve on it, I don't believe. It's awesome. And then I'm going to give you a verse that the Lord really ministered to me today, this week. As you hold the bread up, make this confession. As you hold the bread up, we're going to make this confession. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing and my family's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes that fell on your back, we are completely healed. Mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I believe, and I receive. Take the bread. Say this with me. Say, I'm a believer, and not a doubter. Now, as we take the cup, hold the cup up and say this with us. Say this with us. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought us forgiveness and washed us from every sin. Thank you that your blood has made us righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake in the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. Receive the blood. There's a phrase here at the end that I want to teach a little bit on. And then I'm gonna read a couple of verses, and then we're going to let Al minister the word, bring the word to us. This thing that she added to the end of that was, I love you because you first love me. Say that with me, everybody. I love you because you first loved me. One of the things the devil will guilt you into, and you need to realize this, you need to recognize this, the devil's going to guilt you into the fact that you don't love. He's going to accuse you of not loving people. He's going to accuse you of not loving God. And I'm here to tell you, he's a liar, because it's not that we love God, but that God loved us. See, he's been torturing me with some of this nonsense, and it's just ridiculous. Because in ourselves, apart from Jesus Christ, the only person we really love is ourselves. And so what God did is he sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. And then this is what I want you to understand about something. I saw this very clearly in my reading. I've been reading the Bible. I haven't been getting a lot of revelation, but I've been reading it. But I want to show you something in Romans 5:5, and then I want to take it to verse 6. Because don't beat yourself up because, you know, you don't have this overwhelming love for God, and you just want to understand that it's God's love in you that draws you to God. We weren't even looking for God, and I'll show that to you too. Now watch this. Romans 5:5. And I miss this. I've been reading this my whole life. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, the love of God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And see, what we try to do is we try to quote this scripture. We try to quote this scripture and make it. And it is true that the love of God's in our heart, but it's God's love in our heart. It's not something that we had. It's something he gave to us. We love him because he first loved us. And that's why verse 6 means so much. See, verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But verse 8 is where I wanted to get to, right here. Verse 8. But God, everybody, we're going to say this out loud. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is the one that demonstrated his love for us. It's God's love in us. Don't beat yourself up because you don't have this ooey-gooey feeling of love. Just believe that the love of God abides in you because God loves you and you can't do anything about it. And then I'm going to quit with this verse. And Al, I promise you, I'm going to give you the microphone. Isaiah 53, I want to read verses 4, 5, and 6. These are amazing verses. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that help anybody? Does that help anybody? I love God because he loves me. Amen. Isaiah 53, I want to start at verse 4. You know what? I want to start at verse 1. I'm going to get to verse 6. I want to go all the way to verse, I want to start at verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Listen to this now. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See, he was not a rock star. He was not Tom Cruise. He was not Brad Pitt. He was plain and simple. You wouldn't have known he was God unless it got revealed to you. And then, of course, when you saw what he did, you'd know he had God in him. But he was born in the flesh and born a common man. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised. All this happened on the cross. You can read about it in the four Gospels. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, everybody say surely.
Surely.
Don't call me surely. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him, listen, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. That's what they tried to say at the cross, that God was doing this to him. Because he was a false prophet, but he rose from the dead on the third day, right? Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Here it is. And by his stripes we are healed. But verse 6 is the one that really got to me, the one that really has ministered to me lately. Listen to this. All week, see, don't get beat up about the fact that you're not 100% supercharged all the time about God. All we like sheep have gone astray. It was God reaching out to us that saved us. It was God's love toward us that saved us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And listen to this. Here it is. Here it is. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Say that out loud. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Praise God. Thank you. I'm going to turn my microphone over to this brother.
I'll give you a proper introduction. Al is a chaplain at the hospital.
Yes, sir.
And I got in touch with him through another fine man, Chuck Carlson.
Right.
But Al's a spirit-filled believer.
Amen.
And he's an evangelist.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to share the word of God and the love of God and tell everything, you know.
Well, good morning, everyone. Now, first of all, this was not part of what the Lord had given me. But what really dynamite to me, I mean, it just blows my mind how the Lord works. We were speaking this morning about how far away from the church we've gotten, or from God we have gotten as a church. And as he was reading the scriptures, I about went through the ceiling. See, when the Lord gives me, he sends me someplace as an evangelist. He sends me where there is need. I don't have to look for it. He finds it for me, and someone, as a general rule, will contact me. This is why I'm here. Let me read you this. First of all, my friend and brother in Christ, Mark, is an excellent teacher. I've heard a lot of teachers over time, over the years, lots of them. And they are all good. But Mark has that knack. He's got that spirit-filled knack that's not only inspiring, it's filled with the Holy Spirit. I could tell it. And then the Lord says, I want you to read to the church, Ephesians chapter 4, verses, you don't have to go there, but you can if you want to. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, number 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I didn't even have this scripture lined up. I had some other scriptures that the Lord had given me, because what's happened over time is the church has gotten away from the Lord. Look at the United States today. Where are we as a nation? Where are we as a church? Nowhere to be found. Through politics and the momentum that they've picked up, to be honest with you, it's demonic. If the Holy Spirit is not in politics, because we chose not to have him there, then the only replacement would be evil. It's obvious. Am I right? Amen. Now, there's an old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road you take will get you there. Any road. All you have to do is just walk around. You're going to get there, which is nowhere. That's where we are as a nation. That's not the way it was founded. We've lost purpose. We've lost our mission. This morning, allow me to expand on what I've just spoke to you on. I have a topic that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago. The rivers of flowing water. We don't have that in the church any longer. We do not have it. I've been to many churches and I've preached many sermons. And I can tell that that's missing. Here's what this means. The rivers of living water. Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit of God working in and flowing out of the believer. In the old covenant, the Holy Spirit would come upon a believer and then depart. That's no longer the case. The new covenant came in, and Christ is the one that changed everything. Believing in Christ is phenomenal. Let me read you a scripture. John 7 and 37, if you will. John 7 and 37 reads, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's John 7 and 38. Is that happening today in the church? It is not. We're afraid of the Holy Spirit. We can't speak of the Holy Spirit because it offends someone. Yet on the other side, those that speak of evil and how to change America, they're not afraid, nor do they stumble when they put us down. Thus, the present stage of the United States, and not just the United States, but the world. In Numbers 11, 16 through 17. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down. Now listen to this part. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you and will put it the same upon them. and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. I'm saying all that to say this. There's an abundant overflow in us. We just have to learn how to tap into it. How do we do that? First of all, you're already a believer. You know you're saved. That same faith that carries you through salvation is the same faith you apply in everything that you do and put it to work by acting on it. You act on it, that's faith. By saying I have faith and not acting on it, your faith is worthless. You have to act on it. Act on it and scare the daylights out of the devil and kick him right in the teeth. Every time. It's not you per se. It's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. Three in one. 1 John 5 and 7, I believe it is. All three. You have power. Not you have power. The power is there because that's what God wants. He wants to give you power. Anointing, if you will. And when you do this, the devil is rendered helpless. Always. And I'm not jiving. I'm not kidding you. It happens. Our journey on earth will be filled with dynamic drive, vision, and inspiration. But only if you take those steps that I just initiated to you. Only then. Your hope is in Christ. When you say Jesus, that's power. Jesus, Jesus, help me. Isaiah 58 and 11. Isaiah 58 and 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. He said it. I didn't. I just apply it. It will not fail. But you have to have that faith. That power will come from you. He's given it to you. He's anointed you with it. You're His children. That's your gift. Use it. Walk in it. You will realize how powerful the name of Jesus is. For this reason, my encouragement to you today is simple. Don't be a spectator. Don't stand on the sidelines of the stream. Jump in. Make room for the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. When you commit to this, He will transform you, and that overflow will impact those around you. How do you know a person is a Christian? By his actions, by his words, and the fruit. If there is no fruit being bared, if you will, something's wrong. How do you recognize that? Well, you recognize a Christian by his fruit. The fruit is produced by 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, the gifts of the Spirit. If you see no fruit, there's something wrong. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and joy. If you have no love in you, if you have no peace and you have no joy, then you've got a problem. How do you correct it? You go before the Lord. You say, Lord, I want, and He will give it to you because you are going to apply it. And the bottom line is when you apply that, that's the power that comes through you and the devil just grinds his teeth and hates you. But the deeper he hates you, the stronger you become. The Word of God. This is what you're being taught by my brother. I love this man. He knows not only what he's talking about, it's the Word with power. The Word, he teaches the Word. And that teachers like this are difficult to find anymore in this world and in this day and age. But the devil will do everything in his power to interrupt the flow of the Holy Ghost in our lives and deceive us unto unbelief and disobedience. Without fail. Without fail. He'll do it every time, so beware. You have to get in the spirit in order to fight a spiritual battle. You cannot fight it physically. You can't literally take a baseball bat and beat him upside the head. You use the word. What did Jesus do? When the Lord was being tested, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, 7, and 10, he was tested in the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. And he passed all three. But keep this in mind. I won't overlook this part. Before he got to the wilderness, this is Jesus we're talking about, God on earth. What did he have to accomplish and what did he have to ask for? He received the power of the Holy Spirit in him. He didn't just take off, I'm Jesus, I'm God, I'm going to go out there and fight and I'm going to win. No, he took some steps. The water baptism was only a public, how can I say it, a public so that you could see what was going on, the baptism, water baptism. The true baptism is when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost so he could go to the wilderness and win the battle. And he did. We have that same power living in us. All we have to do is take that step. Jesus, I've done this so many times. Jesus, I need your help. Would you as parents, if your son or daughter came up to you and say, Mom, Dad, I need so-and-so, would you say no? Or would you give them, what did the Bible say? Give them something else. You would not. How much better will the Lord do for you? The Lord is dwelling in your heart. From the moment that you say, yes, Lord, save me. You accept him as your Lord and Savior. You are a born-again Christian. You are now from here, from the left, to the right, so to speak. You're a child of God. You're part of the church. But now, you've also been commissioned to share you what little bit you may know, to share the gospel. That's what we do. That's what I do as an evangelist. That's what my brother Mark does as a teacher. And he's good at it. Listen to him. He is good. No, he is. God loves him. I love him. The church loves him. Why? Because we get the word from him. That's true. He's a humble man. The reservoir of power available from the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us. Not just me, not just Brother Mark, not just Teresa, my wife Lucy. All of us. We have equal rights. Use them. If you ask God, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost, so that the rivers of living water can flow through you, and from you, and from within you. Psalms 33 and 12, if you will, and we'll get to close. Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. It's in the Bible. Where are we is when we've started? Where are we as a nation? Why are we not where we're supposed to be, where it all started? We started off with a commission. The United States was involved in conversion of the people. Go out and preach the gospel. The United States, the beacon, the light. Where's the light now? Why is it absent? There's a song that I really love. And I'll just give you the words on it. I'll get ready to close. Let your living water flow over my soul. Anybody remember that song? It's a beautiful song. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. of every situation that has troubled my mind, all my cares and burdens. All my cares and burdens. Now, when Jesus says all, he doesn't mean just part of it. He means all. You don't need algebra to figure that one out. All my cares and burdens unto you I roll. Any of us here today lacking that anointing of the rivers of flowing water, all you need to do is ask the Lord, fill me, Lord. Fill me. I want you. I need you, Lord. I am nothing without you. I give myself unto you. I am totally submitted. I am surrendering to you, Father. Help me. He will help you. There is no reason for this nation to be in the position it's in. And worse than that, there is no reason why the church should be where it's at today. We have everything that the Lord gave us and said, America, here it is, take it to the world. And we have failed. Why? Because there's a bunch of lunatics telling us, don't say that because it's offensive. Don't say this because it offends my child. Now we don't know who's a male or a female. I mean, it's just completely, not to get off course, but that's what's happened. And then we as a church were supposed to remain silent by two words. Well, actually more than that. The word racism. You're a racist. You're a bigot. And some other words. But when you stand up and you say, Lord, and I do it all the time, I need your help. What do I do? What do I say? The proof is right here. I had no understanding, no clue of what the brother was going to talk about. And if you notice, this is what we talked about this morning. It ties together. It always does without fail. Folks, listen to the word. Listen to your teachers. Listen to your pastors, your preachers. They will get you there because they know the word. They know what you need. And the minute you ask and you say, Lord, I need, we'll all be there to help. That's why we're here. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning's word, Father God. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's upon us. Lord, as an evangelist, your evangelist, Father God, my job is to go and give that word freely, release it, to preach it. Father God, we thank you for cleansing our minds this morning, for cleansing our souls, our spirits, and our bodies. Make us one in unity. Make us one as a church. We surrender to you, Father God. We give the church to you. You lead us and guide us, Father God. Our destination has been really incredibly wrong. Father, forgive us. We obey you this morning, Father God. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. And amen.
All right. Stay up here with me anyway. I lived through one revival. I lived through a revival, the Catholic Charismatic Movement. I lived through that. And I saw a great move of God. And I know that that's what we would love to see. And we're not going to see it until we see more men like you. And again, I don't want to turn this into about us, me or you or anybody. It's all about Jesus. But you got to be led. Spirit-filled people are going to bring spirit-filled results. It's just that simple. And so a verse that he mentioned, and I'm going to close with this as we lead the altar call. This is another verse that's ministered to me during this crisis that I'm going to quit calling a crisis. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve God and show the world that greater is the God in me than the devil that's in a rotten, stinking world. But anyway, go to Matthew 7:11. I call this the Las Vegas verses. Actually, go to Matthew 7:7 first. Matthew 7:7 first. Listen to this. And you know, we read these, and we don't believe them. Donnie, we don't believe them. We read them, we don't believe them. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody got a red letter Bible? Your Bible red? In red, the big old red letters. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. We don't believe that. We don't believe it. But he said it, didn't he? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
For everyone who asks, receives. See, how do you tap that? You tap that with the Holy Spirit. You tap that also by understanding God's will and knowing that He's given us all things richly to enjoy, that He wants us to have a fulfilled life. Now, He wants us to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Are you listening to me? The only place in Scripture where God says He won't answer your prayer, and let me see if I can do this from memory. We're going to go back. I believe it's James 4:2. If I'm wrong, fire me. I'm going to hold on to my job again. Look, there's only one place in the Scriptures where it says God won't give you what you want or what you need. Right here. You lust and do not have. Now, hey, by the way, you know this is written to Christians. This is Christians that he wrote this to. These aren't rank sinners, right? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then he tells you why you don't get it. It's the only reason why you won't get it. Verse 3, only reason. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. See? And again, I've fessed up to you now. I'm not sure that this is not the very first time in the 26-year history of Life in Christ ministry that verse has been put up. Donnie, I can't remember ever putting that verse up. Can you? And you don't want me to put it up anymore, do you? You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So go back and understand now when Jesus says in Matthew 7:8, for everyone who asks receives. Everybody who asks for stuff that's going to be beneficial to the kingdom, that's going to be beneficial to life, that's going to be beneficial to America. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. This is what Al was saying. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Think about that now. Think about that. And then here it is. Here it is. Here's the Las Vegas verse. The MGM Grand. The Bellagio. The Four Seasons. There ain't no such thing. I'm out of, there is one. Harris, Caesar's Palace, all the places that Donnie and Becky hang out. The Las Vegas verse. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Amen. Now tie that out with James. He's going to give you good things that you ask of Him as long as you're not asking so you can spend it on your pleasure. Now, it's all right to ask for some things that you can spend some money on because you got to eat, you got to dress, right? But God wants these, and see, this is what I was meditating on. Go back to verse 11. I want the Las Vegas verse up. This is Matthew 7:11 is the Las Vegas verse. James 4:3 is not the Las Vegas verse. I couldn't come up with it. I wish I could. I couldn't come up with it. So let's all stand up. Let's all stand up on our feet. Praise the Lord. So we just read these verses of Scripture. They just go right past us, right? Boy, I've been thinking on this verse. God gave me this verse. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Listen, and we're going to come to you today. I know you've been listening by radio or internet. You've heard some wonderful things today. You've had an opportunity to experience communion where we can confess our faith in what Jesus did for us, that not only did He save us, but He healed our bodies. He restored our minds. He's our good shepherd. Our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. We ask and receive because what we ask for, we don't ask for it for lust or for pleasure. We ask for it to further the kingdom of God. And so if you're listening by radio or internet and you've never connected your life to Jesus Christ, you must be born again. And the way you do that is to simply receive Jesus into your life and confess that He is the Son of God. The Bible says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. You can't make it any simpler. You can't. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you simply confess that and renew your mind to that and bow your knee to that and live your life to that truth. So say this with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard that you laid on him the iniquity of us all. By the Holy Spirit, I recognize that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. So I confess with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, Jesus, you are the Son of God, and you died for me according to the Scriptures. And you rose from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. I'm sorry, I got to preaching on that one. And I received that truth into my life. And I'm now a Christian. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. I thank you so much for what Maria and Robert did. That she's, I'm telling you, Maria Butterfield is led of the Lord as a spirit-filled person that listens to God. I thank you for so many people that's come into my life and been there for me. I know what Al's heart is. I know what Al's talking about. Al's an evangelist. Al's spirit-filled, see? And he's a spirit-filled evangelist, and it breaks his heart because he can't hardly run into anybody spirit-filled. And I've got him fooled a little bit. But you'll reveal that to him. But we agree that we want to see that manifested in our churches, but it won't happen until we get unified. You got to be able to go into any church that acknowledges Jesus Christ, that believes he's the Son of God, and you got to be able to find some commonality and hook up together and do something to further the gospel. Amen. I'm telling you, I know that more than I've ever known it in my life. And so we give you the glory, honor, and praise in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
See you February 12th.